Eine Stadt. Deine Uni. Der Studentenfunk in Regensburg.
So, hello everyone. My name is Leah. I'm an international student at Regensburg, University of Regensburg. And I thought that all my life, I'm in an international culture. I'm with international people. I'm always connecting with another culture. And now I'm also working, and our work group is full of international too. And I thought, the boundaries now is kind of eliminating. They're going away. So how we can live and how we can survive in this international environment. And to answer this question, I invited a professor from Regensburg University, and her name is Elisabeth Sommerhoff. Hello.
Hello, Leah.
It's so nice to having you here. I'm so glad that you agreed to be here. So let's talk a little bit. So my first question is, what about you? You're a professor, you basically teach the international culture, communication, and so on. So could you please just share with your experience of the communication in international environment?
Yes, there we do have the first misunderstanding, because in Germany we do have professor as those who are not only teaching at the university, but who sort of wrote a few books, and they're called the professors. I'm just a lecturer here at the university. Well, that's fine.
I'm sorry. You see, again, the misunderstanding on the culture, because where I'm from Russia, by the way. We call everyone professor who is at university and who teaches, it's already the professor. Sorry.
I know that, because I do work in international context. So just to tell you a little bit of what I'm doing at the University of Regensburg, I'm teaching here something that is called extra studies for international rhetorical competence. So I do teach students, for example, who would like to go abroad in how to be able to communicate in an international context and to be able to communicate very well at all. So they learn something about presentation and discussion and meeting and so on.
But basically now you said that you were also working in this intercultural environment, right? So what you can say, what is it, this international differences, intercultural differences?
That depends on where you come from. So obviously, when we grow up, we get used to how our own, or let's say our first culture works, like how the family is together, how people are communicating with each other. And that's something we get used to. That's something that is our normal structure. And as soon as we come in contact with people who grew up in different cultural contexts, we suddenly realize there are more than one way how to deal with problems, for example, or there are more than one way how to express that you have a question, or that you would like to question something. And so we have to learn to bear that we do not know what's going on sometimes, to sort of have this ambiguity, not knowing if something is right or wrong. And that's always part of international, intercultural communication.
But let's go a little bit deeper to that. Why I'm asking, because now I think it's very popular on Instagram, on another social media, to have this kind of joke videos. So I have so many of them about the Italians, that you shouldn't drink cappuccino after 12 p.m., that you shouldn't break the pasta when you cook it, and so on. And to be honest, I always have some. So I have Italian friends, and I have some discussions with them, because I do like drink cappuccino after 12 p.m. I do like prepare my pasta in the certain way. So is this, what is this? Is this our intercultural differences, how you prepare pasta, and do you drink cappuccino after 12 p.m. or not?
Not really. This is just something on the surface. but in a deeper structure, it is how we perceive the world. For example, all these do's or don'ts, they might be okay for some time or for a few years, but our culture is changing, and these surface things, they might be changing more quickly than, for example, if we perceive the world and perceive ourselves, for example, as part of a group or more as individuals who have to fight for themselves. And this is something, there are values sort of in the core of a culture. And sometimes it's difficult from the outside to understand them because we just see the surface when we meet people from another culture.
But you're saying that these differences are changing, right? But what about the traditions? Because I made a little checkup before we met, and most of the time in all the articles, they're saying that the traditions, basically, this is the culture. And because we have different traditions, this is where the misunderstanding is. Do you think so? And now you're saying that sometimes this cultural thing is can change, but traditions, they're not changing.
Well, they are basically because they have to have come into being at one point. Traditions sort of didn't fall from the earth, from the sky, and then they are there. They have developed by and by, and so as they have developed, they're not fixed. They w won't change in 1 or 2 years, but maybe in 20 or 50 years, they will have changed as well.
But you agree that you can make equal between culture and traditions.
Not really. I think traditions are part of a culture.
And what is it culture then?
The culture consists of a lot of things. It's an everyday culture. It's like how we behave, how we communicate, and what we think, how someone else should react, what is polite or impolite. Let's just sort of sort of talk about an example. That's easier sort of to imagine what is meant by it. For example, we could say it's polite to smile. Yes, it is, and it isn't, because sometimes we Germans think when we compare ourselves to someone from the United States, US American, we would think they smile too often. While if we compare ourselves to someone who is, for example, from Russia, we
Yeah.
think, well, they do not smile often enough, or we smile too often. So it always depends from where you're coming, what you perceive as right or wrong.
Yeah, I remember how I just arrived to Germany. I did my Erasmus in Leipzig, and for me, everyone smiled a lot. As I said, like I'm from Russia, and I'm like, why? Like, why everyone is smiling? Like, yeah, for me, it was really difficult, really difficult.
So this, because there is no right or wrong, generally speaking, in terms of what is polite and what is not polite. And so smiling might be perceived as being polite or perceived as being, oh, that's strange. Why are they smiling?
Exactly. Exactly. And then, okay. And what you can say about the small talks? Or probably you can say something about the Germans. I think it's very interesting for our audience. Okay, like these stereotypes about the Italians we all know, but what about the Germans? Punctuality, and that's it?
No, that's the only one. So, as far as I know, it's always difficult to say sort of something about your own culture because everything seems, or not everything, but quite a few things seem normal that seem peculiar or strange from the outside. For example, being punctual or thinking that it is polite to be on time, is obviously German. That's part of the German thing. Or we could say some, or let's say, put it like this, a lot of Germans like to plan ahead, to plan a lot of things and to make sure, for example, that even their spare time has appointments, or that they know they're going to be there at this time and then they're going to do this and that.
I know people that do the vacation, they plan the vacation in 6 months ahead. And I'm like, I respect that. We'll never be able to do that, but I respect that.
Yes, obviously. So this might be typical German as well. Or I was told that it is typical German to put your bath towel on a deck chair very early in the morning, although you will be lying there only in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly.
But as I do not make this kind of holiday, I've never experienced it myself. But this was, for example, something when I used to live in Great Britain. That was one of the first things people told me. Well, Germans do always put their towels on a deck chair. And I was really confused because this was not part of my experience. But obviously, it is something, let's put it like this, a lot of Germans do.
Yeah, I just remembered that there are also, like, with this Italian videos, there is these videos about the Germans. True, true, true. Okay, I think we can make a little break now and listen Italian song, Pina Dango, My Quale, and then we will come back.
Thank you.
In discoteca con lo sguardo da serpente, io mi sono avvicinato, lei già non capiva niente, l'ho guardata, m'ha guardato e mi sono scatenato, Fred Astaire al mio confronto era statico e imbranato, le ho sparato un bacio in bocca, uno di quelli che schiocca. Sulla pista diavolata, lì per lì l'ho strapazzata, l'ho lanciata, riafferrata, senza fiato l'ho lasciata, tra le braccia mi è cascata, era cotta innamorata, per i fianchi l'ho bloccata e ne ho fatto marmellata. Oh yeah, si dice così, no? E poi, che idea?
Vale idea, vedi che lei non ci sta.
Che idea?
Vale idea, è maliziosa ma saprà tenere a bada un super bullo biffo come te. E poi che avresti di speciale, che in un altro no non c'è.
Che idea?
Vale idea, non vedi che lei non ci sta.
Che idea?
Vale idea.
Nella tana l'ho portata, le ho versato un'aranciata, lei si è fatta una risata, al mio whisky si è aggrappata, i 5 litri si è scolata, mi sembrava pelle andata, ma ha baciato, l'ho baciata, a un tratto l'ho agganciata, dalle braccia mi è sgusciata, ma guardato, l'ho guardata, l'ho bloccata, carezzata, sul visino sudifata, ma sembrava una patata, l'ho acchiappata, l'ho frullata e ne ho fatto una frittata. Oh yeah! Si dice così, no? E poi, che idea?
Vale idea, non vedi che lei non ci sta.
Che idea?
Vale idea, è maliziosa ma saprà tenere a bada un super bullo buffo come te. E poi che avresti di speciale, che in un altro no non c'è.
Che idea?
Vale idea, non vedi che lei non ci sta.
Che idea?
Vale idea.
Che idea, che idea, che idea.
Quale idea?
spalla. Spalla.
Hallo da draußen. Auch in dieser Woche hört ihr beim Stufu wieder tolle Shows, interessante Beiträge und natürlich die beste Musik. Schaltet auch diese Woche wieder ein. Mittwoch um 18 Uhr ist es Zeit für Music Minds. Diese Woche holen sich Pia und Sophie Unterstützung von einem Special Guest. Es werden Lieblingssongs vorgestellt und wie immer sehr viel über Musik gequatscht. Am Donnerstag um 9 Uhr geht es bei Insomnia darum, das beste Fleischersatzprodukt zu finden. Passend zur Grillsaison kosten sich Nika und Lupe euch durch und sind obendrein bereit, euch mit feurigen Beats zu versorgen. Ebenfalls am Donnerstag, aber um 18.30 Uhr lohnt es sich für Jam einzuschalten. In dieser Morningshow am Abend werden die Grenzen der Unterhaltung gepusht. Joshua, Amelie und Melissa entertainen euch auf Arten, die man nicht für möglich gehalten hat. Showkonzept oder Struktur? Gibt's nicht. Egal ob News, Tarotkartenlesung oder auch Problemlösungen für den Alltag, alles ist dabei. Denn hier gilt, alles muss, nichts kann. Nächsten Montag hört ihr dann um 20 Uhr die Stufe-Show mit Tobi, Liam und Lisa. Auch außerhalb des Live-Betriebs findet ihr beim Studentenfunk eine Vielzahl interessanter Podcasts. Die neuen Folgen der letzten Woche findet ihr unter www.stufo.de und überall, wo es Podcasts gibt. Endlich sind Josh und Sophie zurück, und zwar mit Lobster Café Folge 7, Orientierungslosigkeit mit Twist. Dabei handelt es sich um eine etwas ältere Folge, die trotzdem ihre Relevanz nie verliert. Denn eine Sache ist sicher, der Lobster Café ist zeitlos. In Basic Bees Folge 9, Slow Mornings und so, dreht sich alles um Achtsamkeit. Jasmin und Kathi berichten davon, wie sie versuchen, gemütliche Morgende in ihren stressigen Alltag einzubauen. Dabei kommt von Katzen mit Datenschutzrechten bis zu Slow Mornings und dem perfekten Matcha alles zur Sprache. Auch Your Watchlist liefert euch wieder feinste Filmunterhaltung in Folge 77, Spiel und Spaß und Trailer und so. In diesem Your Watchlist Podcast erwartet euch eine bunte Mischung, Trailerbesprechungen, aktuelle Filmempfehlungen und ein Duell zwischen David und Felix, wer mehr Letterboxd-Kritiken errät. In Stilgar Siege Folge 37b O-Zapft ist, widmen sich Moritz und Matthias der zweiten Hälfte des 37. Kapitels von Dune. Es geht weiter mit der wilden Fremen-Zeremonie. Diese beginnt mit stillstehender Zeit und einer permanenten Erweiterung des Bewusstseins und artet am Ende immer weiter zur gemeinsamen Orgie aus. Wie ein gutes Volksfest halt so ist. Weitere interessante Beiträge findet ihr unter www.stufu.de. Diese Woche lohnt es sich besonders, in die Mottowoche zum BürgerInnenfest in Regensburg reinzuhören. Das ganze Wochenende war in der Altstadt einiges geboten. Verschiedenste Stände, Bühnen, Bands und Eindrücke. Der Stufu hat aus diesem Anlass eine Beitragsreihe für euch veröffentlicht, die das BürgerInnenfest und seine vielfältigen Facetten für euch genauer unter die Lupe nimmt. Das war eure Woche beim Studentenfunk. Ich bin Matthias und ich wünsche euch noch einen schönen Tag.
Studentenfunk.
And we are back to our conversation. So, yeah, we already discussed something on the surface. Yes, there are some habits, some traditional moment of the culture. That's why we are so different. But I want to go even deeper. So, do you think that historical moments, historical events, they affect the culture?
Yes, definitely. Because as culture is developing, that's what I meant before, and that it is not something fixed for eternity. It is something that is developing, but obviously slowly. And for example, if there has been something like, or there are earthquakes in this country, that obviously does change how people perceive the environment. Or if there has been a war, obviously that does, as there are lots of shocking experiences there, that then this will change the way how people in this culture perceive the environment.
But for sure, the earthquake or some climate changing, yes, and the war, for me, it cannot be comparable. Or you think that it's the same, that these two moments can equally affect the culture and kind of shape the culture?
They can, but obviously it is different, sort of how they shape the culture. But they will somehow affect the way how people behave and how they perceive the world. So, and that is basically what culture is, how we perceive our surroundings, how we perceive other individuals, other human beings, and how we think we should behave towards them and how they should behave.
But can you make any certain example of how, for example, war affected the nation?
Yes, it obviously does. If you think about Germany as being in the center of Europe, for example, there have been several wars with France. And in the past, it used to be that there were lots of difficulties between Germany and France. So people from Germany were thinking about French people, that they were not reliable, that they were dangerous, and vice versa. So people from France thought, well, Germans, they are dangerous, and so on. So after the Second World War, there were lots of institutions that tried, like the Institut Français, and lots of different institutions that tried to have exchange programs there. So people from schools went to France, and people from different French cities came to Germany. And getting to know each other in a pretty young age, like 10, 12 or 15, will change how you perceive this culture, and it has changed. They're not the enemy any longer, but they are sort of, for Germans, France now is like a country where you have the savoir-vivre, where you live, know how to live with a nice food and sort of a beautiful language, and so it has changed. And that, so this sort of how you perceive another culture is possible to change, although before, in the past, this was part of the culture, thinking like, no, our nation is better than the other nation, for example.
It is very interesting what you said about the ability, the skill to see another culture, to understand another culture, to be open to another culture. Because I know, for example, I have another friend, and when we were in the conference, and it was like three, four, I think, oh my God, 5 years ago, I did my Erasmus, 5 years ago, oh my God. Yes, and some international office, they offered us their programs and so on, and she chose to go to the Japan university in Japan, and I chose to go to Leipzig, to Germany. And honestly, she was even more excited to go, to have this experience. I was a little bit afraid, but she was like so opened. I thought she would rock there. But what happened, she literally couldn't go out of her room. So so everything was so different, and it is, because it's a completely different culture. Completely different culture. And she was so, I wouldn't say that it's depression, but it is something inside
shocked,
of you.
Maybe.
Excuse me?
Shocked, maybe.
Shocked.
She was shocked that what she thought were like the normal boundaries, how you behave and how people would react, that they were so different that you do not know how to behave and how to react. And this is what we sometimes call this culture shock. When a culture is really different, or when we have a lot of tiny or bigger misunderstandings, that we feel very foreign and misunderstood in another culture. And this might lead to, at one point, not wanting or not being able to really interact with people from this other culture.
But why? Some people, they are more open, they don't feel this don't feel these boundaries, even though they accept, they understand, they see the difference. I think it's really hard to not to see the differences, because they are here. But for other, is literally shocked. I'm not exaggerating, she literally couldn't go out of her room. For her it was really hard, and she came back after 2 months. She couldn't finish. So why some people, they're more open and some not? And honestly, I couldn't say that she is introvert. She's very extroverted person.
Sometimes it's a coincidence as well, we have to say, because there's not only the culture if we go to a foreign country, but there are different individuals we meet. Mm-hmm. So, and if you meet a person, you do never know, is what we see and perceive, is it mainly the culture, is it mainly the personality, or is it maybe the situation we are in? So in an intercultural context, for example, we all know that we have different cultures and we might try to be a bit more open-minded or a bit more careful sometimes, or that we think we should ask questions in between to try to find out whether this was the correct understanding or a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it is a coincidence that you really get in a situation where you do not have lots of other people who are in a similar situation, for example, because then you can unite with them and you can go out together and find out about the new culture, for example.
So for me, it's just interesting because you're thinking that it's not only culture, so everything is mixed together. Yeah, so probably if she could find a person that in touch absolutely. With someone, everything would be different, right?
Yes, but, absolutely.
But why then? Okay, there is another example. So many examples when people are migrating to another country for better life, for better salary, for better opportunities to their children. But they're together. They have each other, and they also have friends there. So they kind of built their life, but they just couldn't handle it. They understand that. No, we cannot. And yeah, we will sacrifice in money, for example, but we will go back. Then why this happening?
Yes, that if you want to live in a different culture or in a different country, it's not the same, the culture and the country, because we all know that in one country, there are lots sort of at least exactly. different shades of culture. But so... if we are able to adopt quite a few of these cultural differences that are in the other country, then we, or if we are even able to perceive them as sort of enriching our lives. Let's try to put that back to an example again. For example, in Great Britain, that's because I live there, so I know it a little bit well. People tend to have quite a bit of small talk, like, oh, about the weather, and what's about the weather, and look at the garden, look at the flowers. So all these kind of small talks. If I think this is just a chitter-chatter, something one shouldn't do, because it's not really philosophical or theoretical enough or whatever, then I will not feel comfortable. But if I can perceive it like making everyday life a lot easier, because you can start to talk to each and everyone, then I might perceive it as a value, as something I might adopt, something I might even like so much that even going back to the first culture I came from, I might bring a few of these habits back to my own culture.
It's so why I'm smiling now, as you can see, is because about small talk, I can talk for forever, because small talk is not very popular in my culture. And when I first came to Europe, it was at school. It was also exchange program. And I couldn't understand what is happening. Literally, we were talking with my friends and we why people are talking about the salad for 40 minutes. What is happening? Why we are doing this now? So, and other people, they also say that they feel pain when they need to do the small talks. But they could adapt to that.
Yes.
But why, for example, some of these things, they are more present in one culture and not in another? For example, small talk is not only something for the... for example, for the Europeans, it's also present in US, but it's not present in Russia at all, I would say. Why it is like this? Why some of the features are present in countries more than in other ones?
Yeah, this is part of a long, long history and how a culture is formed. And there are obviously historical reasons why this has formed as a habit, as what is normal, how people behave. For example, do we know, I wouldn't know, that's why I'm asking, if, for example, in 18th century Russia, maybe it was normal there to have small talk?
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why
culture
is changing. It doesn't change that quickly, and but that why it is sometimes so difficult to use these do's and don'ts if someone goes to another country, because if you tell someone, oh, you shouldn't do this or you should do this, he or she might come into an environment in this country where it is different, because it's not a monolithic block, the culture. There are individuals there, and there are different shades of this culture.
Exactly.
So it's more like an adventure going to a new culture, a new country. And it is, I don't say it is always easy. People tend to be exhausted because there is so much we see, something new, and we sometimes, it's so much ambiguity. We do not know what is right, what is wrong, and how do I show that I'm listening? How do I show that I'm interested, for example? That is sometimes difficult, and then we feel lost.
Interesting. Okay, I think it's a perfect time to make another pause and listen to Dominique Hart's Klimpa Klimpa, and we will be back.
Yes, thank you.
Wir haben Zeit, haben Bock, ja, der Beat ist gebaut. Wenn du nicht weißt, was du willst, ja, dann figure it out. Ich hab Heat und der Gig ist direkt ausverkauft. Ja, alles bleibt, wie es ist, schreib den Tag auf der Couch. Yeah, it's that time of day. Heute ist alles so ein bisschen mehr als okay. Ich hab ein bisschen viel Style in den Sound gepackt und deine Ohren hängen auf halb acht. Alle deine Freunde pumpen die Tracks. Ja, mache, was ich mache, drop ein Part und mit weg. Ja, zwar noch undercover, ja, ich bleib unter Deck. Underwood wie Ron Wright, denn ich plane versteckt. Ey, meine Jungs haben Bock auf den Tibbit. Du verträumst dein Leben, better live it. Ziehen in der Nacht um die Häuser dieser Stadt, wo es endet, ist egal, denn ich lieb, was ich mache. Sie hat wunderschöne Augen, also hin da. Ja, Klimper, Klimper, ihre langen Wimpern. Geh zu ihr hin, fühle mich wie Simba. Tanzen den Tanz und benehmen uns wie Kinder. Alles cool, na matata. Sie sagt zu mir, du hast ein Ratta. Dicker Groove, von der du hast völlig recht. Hab ne Schraube locker, doch ja, es ist alles echt. Der Beat ist gebaut, sind im 13. Stock und die Lichter sind auf. Die Polizei hat geklopft, ey, machen sie auf. Doch ich bin wieder viel zu breit, alles klebt an der Haut. Yeah, it's that time of day. Alle sagen, meine Mucke, sie ist mehr als okay. Jeder Chip, mit dem wir rollen, wird zu Rauch gemacht. Und Feuerzeuge klicken auf dem Takt, ja, ja. Alle deine Freunde pumpen die Jacks. Die Köpfe nicken und die Füße wippen unten im Dreck. Ja, mittlerweile lieg ich unter dem Bett. Da sind Bullen in der Küche und ich hab mich versteckt. Da sind Bullen in der Küche. Ich hau mir noch ein Jibbit. Da sind Bullen in der Küche. Und ich hau mir noch ein Jibbit. Wir haben Zeit, haben Bock, ja.
Studentenfunk. Rund um die Uhr. Euer Podcast für das Neueste aus der Uni und der Stadt. Die letzte Juniwoche lädt mit Wahrscheinlichkeit auf Hitze dazu ein, sowohl Veranstaltungen im sonnigen Freien als auch im kühlen Drinnen zu suchen. Genau das liefert euch der Rudu. Am Donnerstag ab 18 Uhr findet wieder das jährliche Sommerfest der Uni Regensburg statt. Verteilt über den Campus ist ein vielseitiges, kostenloses Programm geboten. Von Campusführungen über wissenschaftliche Präsentationen, ein Programm für Kinder bis hin zu Aufführungen einiger Uni-Ensembles ist hier für alle was dabei. Das genaue Programm samt den jeweiligen Ortsangaben findet ihr auf den angegebenen Link. Für die nötige Versorgung sorgt das Studierendenwerk. Das Unikat beteiligt sich außerdem mit einer Aperolbar. Wichtig, achtet auf genügend Bargeld, denn Kartenzahlung ist bei dem Sommerfest nicht möglich. Vom Freitag, den 27. Juni bis Sonntag, den 30. Juni, macht das Foodtruck Festival wieder Halt im Regensburger Gewerbepark. Wer also schon immer einmal wissen wollte, wie der hübsche Foodtrend von der For You-Page oder das ausgefallene Streetfood schmeckt, kann sich dieses Wochenende wieder durchkosten. Neben den vielen Getränke- und Essensständen erwarten euch diesmal auch Live-Musik und DJs. Verzichtet also getrost mal auf Selbstkochen oder einen Lieferanten und genießt die köstliche Festival-Atmosphäre. Passend zum Pride Month zeigt das Studikino diese Woche Love Lies Bleeding. USA 1989. Jackie macht sich aus Oklahoma auf den Weg nach Las Vegas, um an einem Bodybuilding-Wettbewerb teilzunehmen. Bei einem Zwischenstopp in einer Kleinstadt lernt sie Lou kennen, die Managerin eines Fitnessstudios ist. Die beiden verlieben sich ineinander und alles könnte so schön sein, wären dann nicht die kriminellen Machenschaften von Lous Familie. Während sie es ablehnt, mit dem FBI zu kooperieren, gerät Jackie immer weiter in das Netz der Familie. Ob sie es gemeinsam bis nach Las Vegas schaffen, könnt ihr am Dienstag sehen. Einlass in H16 ist ab 19.30 Uhr. Infos für alles Weitere gibt es auf Instagram @studikino. Viel Spaß mit den Events, denkt an Sonnenschutz sowie genügend Trinken und eine gute Woche, wünscht der Rudu.
And we are back. So we basically talked about the situations when you are going somewhere and you feel uncomfortable because of the cultural shock. But there are so many people I know, for example, and they say, okay, we are living here in this culture and we have a feeling that we are not at home. Like we feel that all of this, it's something what is not belonging to me, and I want to move somewhere. Why is this happening?
You mean like people who grew up here and they still do not feel at home? Or
no, I'm talking about, for example, I have a friend also. I have a lot of international friends, but this friend she's from Russia. And she we met, I think, when we were 20. And she said, you know, Leah, I feel not at home. Like all these traditions, all the cultural things, all the jokes, for example, or I feel not at home here. I don't feel at home. I don't feel that I'm part of this culture.
And the culture she grew up in.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
So
yes.
That's why she moved to US, and there she feels happily. Yeah, really, she doesn't want to go back. She said, like, this is where I am. Where should I be? Yeah.
Yeah. This might be because we do have personalities with lots of different shades, or let's say different possibilities, how we might develop our personality. And sometimes we are born into a culture maybe where we can adopt to, but still we feel we have to force ourselves, or we have to shut a lot of inner life out. Because it's not wanted in this culture where we grow up. So moving to another country, to another culture, might feel like really freeing yourself, freeing your inner personality for one time, being able to show more of what or who you are, because then other parts of your personality will come to the outside and are seen, and you are able to live them.
But why I'm amazed about this moment, please correct me if I'm wrong, because how I read and what we had in our historical classes, that the cultural and traditional things, they're very important. They are putting you in one, like in one land, we would say like that, that you are very responsible, you feel patriotic and so on. So kind of.
It is possible to perceive culture as that, but then it is like a monolithic culture. That's how it is, and it's not going to move.
Mm-hmm.
But we are human beings. We are going to change during our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We're different than we were with 20, or for me with 40. I was different then because I didn't have the same experience I do have now. So culture, obviously, traditions are part of a culture, but do we like all traditions as individual persons? We
no.
might like some of them.
Exactly.
We might be comfortable with some of them, and we might even hate some of them and think, oh, it's embarrassing that we do have these traditions here because mm-hmm. we do not feel comfortable with them. And going to another culture might confuse us or might make us feel foreign and not at home. But if we're able to adapt to it and sort of, we might realize that we can live parts of our personality there that we would not be able to live in the country or in the culture we grew up in.
But do you think it's important, it is vital to the person to be part of some culture?
Of some culture, yes, but it doesn't have to be one culture.
Yeah, but then why children that they have international parents, yeah, one mm-hmm. parent is from one culture and another parent is from another, and they are struggling because they're really struggling. They don't know who I am.
Yes, but there is always a time when we do not know who we are. If we are something between 12 and 15, or 10 and 15. And it is more difficult for someone who has like two different reference systems, mm-hmm. if there are two different cultures, and it just takes more time. But if you realize it's like a treasure to be able to switch from one culture behavior to another culture behavior. So being able to function in different systems, then it is a treasure to be able to know two cultures from within. But in the beginning, it is obviously confusing, especially if there are different values or completely different behaviors in these two cultures.
Because what I'm asking is that I have a friend and her father is Italian and her mother is Russian. And you can imagine that it's kind of different cultures and kind of different. Yeah. So and she was struggling. She was struggling for that. I don't know. But for some people, I think it's really important to understand who I am. What is my past? Who are my ancestors? So that's why she traveled in Italy. She studied in Italy and she also studied in Russia to understand who I am.
Yes, where her roots are, because there are the roots there, but a tree is something different than a root. So there are our roots there, but we can still, depending on where we grow up, become a very different tree. So it's part of sort of how we develop or which roots are more important for us, because if you have two different cultures, you might even decide for yourself, oh, I will pick a few things from this, a few things from this, or I will be more part of one culture because I feel more comfortable there.
Interesting. May I ask, I know that you also, as you said, you traveled a lot and you studied in different universities. How was it for you to be first time in an intercultural environment?
For me, for example, it was difficult in the beginning that I had to communicate in a different language. We obviously have English at school. It was in the United States. And when I was there, there were not a lot of other international students, mm-hmm. but it was just me and there was only English there. So I felt a bit lost because it is difficult to use a new language to communicate. And obviously we are human beings. We do want to communicate. That's very vital for us to be able to express ourselves and to understand what's going on in the outside. So that was difficult in the beginning. And sometimes I felt lost. But on the other hand, it was fascinating as well. I used to live with a Chinese couple, so I learned a lot about Chinese culture there. And we could talk about the US-American culture, mm-hmm. as perceiving it from the outside. And that was so helpful to look at it from different angles. And then we compared the Chinese and the German culture. And that helped me a lot to feel more at home there. And obviously, if you start thinking about, oh, what is nice in this culture? And for example, like talking to people more openly than what we are used in Germany, that was something I found really, it was like a freeing experience, being allowed to do that.
Interesting. I just remembered that at some point being in Germany, so now it's almost my third year here. And of course, at the beginning, I thought that everything is different. People are different. People communicating different. Humor is different. Like when I make a joke, they don't smile. When they make a joke, I don't laugh. So there is some problem in communication. But after some time, during the time, I think, wow, we have a lot of in common. Like we like to be direct. We like to be honest. We like to be straight ahead. We don't want to lie to each other. And it's also interesting for me why sometimes we are so different, right? Cultures are very different. As we said, the tradition, the part of the culture is different. Everything, we are in the different like lands very far away. Yeah. But yeah, we can see the similarities in every, if you can see the similarities in all the cultures, why it is like this, because of the culture, because of the historical events, because of the, probably the media, internet. Now we can, yeah, we are closer than we think, or when we were 100
Maybe,
years
but
ago.
Even so, there are sometimes different reference stories we have in our backgrounds, and something we refer to without knowing that we do refer to it. And that makes it sometimes difficult to understand from the outside when you haven't grown up in in one culture, where you have the same schooling system, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, then you have a similar or more similar reference frame. And for example, especially jokes and humor that refers to this frame. And if we have a different frame, then it's very difficult to understand the humor and to be able to laugh about something because you do not know what to refer to. So it isn't funny for someone who doesn't know that.
But it's interesting about the humor because I really felt like at home. I felt calm when I was hanging with my German friends and I made them laugh. So they understood me, like there is a connection. They started to laugh at my jokes and I was, wow, finally.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If you are there and you are living together and you get to know each other better, and then obviously it is possible, for example, to make jokes because you develop a similar reference frame. So you could make jokes about the university if you're always are working there or studying there.
Always.
And this is something, as soon as you will go back to the culture you grew up in, you will realize that you have changed during these years.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
This is one of the dangerous things going to another country and studying there or working there, that first you think, well, I'm remaining who I was when I went abroad. But when you try to go back, or when you do go back because you decided to go back to your first country and live there, then you realize suddenly that you will perceive the world and the culture there differently. I will give you a very small example because that was
please.
Pretty fun. When I came back from Britain, I had been living there for 5 years, although going back for visits in between to Germany. And when I came back, I thought the Germans were so impolite. For example,
Germans,
I was used to when you walk through a door that you would always hold the door and look back over your shoulder if someone was coming behind you to let this person walk through the door as well. And as I was used to that in Britain.
Okay, so something unfortunately is wrong with the Wi-Fi or with the connection. But what I want to say that is very interesting that some things can be changed and some of them not. So, for example, I know by myself that when I came to Germany, I was very strict about one of the moments. So I thought like, no, I will not adapt to that. No, for me, no. And now I'm more open to that. So it's really interesting how their country can have effect on you and you can change. I also was thinking about the rules. Are there any rules that can help you to communicate, to feel like at home in another country? And I have some of them, and I want to say it at the end of our talk. So first, it'd be to be open to the all experience, to be open to all the people that is coming in your way, to say hi, to literally understand. Don't judge, but try to understand what is going on there, why the person is like this. Second, it's give your time to even cry if you feel uncomfortable. If you, for, even in Erasmus, yeah, everyone says that Erasmus is a fun time. Yeah, it is. But sometimes you can feel homesick, and it's okay. Give yourself time, and just going ahead. Don't go. Don't look back. And at the end, you will be very grateful for this experience. And I want to end our talk with one of my favorite songs. It calls Feel the Rain, Gold Diggers. Here we are. Thank you very much.
Dive into the water like it's here to serve. Let it carry you forward when you are way too scared and hurt.